Now, it's good to have those studies done that prove that we sing better standing up. I like to stand up when I sing, actually. But this made me think as he said that, I wondered if you would listen to a sermon better standing up. But anyway, we won't go there tonight, so, because I want you to still be here at the end. So anyway, it's good to be with you this evening. As we get started, I'll encourage you to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ up in Danville. I had the privilege of being there this morning. Some of our other brothers here occasionally speak there at Danville, and they can attest that it's a very difficult time for that really daughter assembly, in a way, of us, I guess. And they're going through, some real struggles and discouragement. So pray for the saints in Danville. I know that they would greatly appreciate that. Some really good saints there just struggling right now. So we'll commend them to the Lord or encourage you to do that. Glad to be back here. Look forward to hearing our brother Ronnie's message. Been hearing good things about that. I'll be able to listen to that on the website, right, Joe? Be able to listen to that. And want to encourage you to take advantage of the chapel website. The address is on the front of the bulletin, and you're able to go back and listen to messages that you missed or maybe one you'd like to hear again, but particularly those ones that you missed. That's a real blessing, and I would encourage you to take advantage of that. I just had the privilege right before this meeting of meeting with the young people tonight at the Youth Alive meeting and sharing with them what we looked at as an assembly a couple of months ago. That's our vision as an assembly, and to share that with them. They were, most of them were in Sunday school when we shared that, so we wanted them to be on board with that as well. And just that importance. If you didn't hear those messages, maybe you weren't here, maybe you were teaching Sunday school, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that as we seek to really serve the Lord together and be equipped to serve. And that's a real beauty of the website also, that you can go and listen to those messages that you missed, because every message that's shared here is shared very purposefully and intentionally with the goal of equipping the saints to serve. And we trust that you're finding that to be true. I want to ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're at the very end of this study that we've been doing on some Sunday nights when I've spoken. We've called it Paul's investment strategy, and particularly his investment strategy for developing particular character qualities in others. We see him specifically doing that in the life of the recipient of this letter, Timothy, a younger man in the Lord that Paul mentored and invested much time and energy into this young fella, and he desired to see him have these qualities developed in his life. And we've been challenged, I hope, in our own lives to recognize that we, like Paul, though we're not Paul, we have a responsibility. Same responsibility Paul had in that sense, and that's to invest in the lives of other believers, particularly those who are younger in the Lord than us. And of course, if we're going to be investing, we also need those who are investing in us or who have invested in us and hopefully are continuing to do so. But we want to be very intentional about investing our lives in the lives of others. We want to be very purposeful. And as Paul did, we want to have specific goals. And he was seeking to develop these character qualities in others. And we saw there in the beginning, once we did our introduction in the first six verses, we went on to see that he was desiring to develop courage in them. I'll pull that a little closer. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, excuse me, he challenges Timothy to not be ashamed. He wanted to develop courage in this younger man. That's very important. If we're going to live the Christian life faithfully, we've got to be courageous, not in our own strength, but in that of the Lord. And then secondly, we saw in the beginning of chapter 2 that Paul wanted to develop strength. He said, be strong. Be strong, Timothy, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and how important it is that we encourage and seek to develop strength, spiritually speaking, not in ourselves, but in the grace of Jesus Christ. And then as we worked our way on through chapter 2, we saw Paul desiring to develop honor in Timothy. And he said, be a vessel for honor. And that was very important to him. And then fourthly, we saw as the first half of chapter 3 that Paul wanted also to develop the character quality of discernment in Timothy. He said, turn away. There's certain things, certain people you've got to turn away from. You've got to be on guard. You've got to beware. You've got to be careful. And he wanted to develop that ability to discern in Timothy. And we've most recently, it's been a couple of months, but we began to look at this character quality of endurance. And if you'll look there, just go back in chapter 3, just a few verses back, and notice in verse 14, this is where this section, we began from here on to the end of the book. Notice there, he starts out, but you must continue. Continue. That's the key word. Keep going. Don't stop. In other words, you need to endure. And how important it is for us to teach and mentor future generations, both future generations physically and spiritually, that we teach them the value, the essential nature of endurance in their lives. That ability to continue and to last, despite fatigue, despite stress, despite other difficulties, that sense of stamina, bearing up without yielding, so relevant for young and really all believers, and particularly, I would say, in the day and culture in which we live, in the day and culture which is just ahead of us. We're moving so quickly there. The development of endurance is vital to Christian victory. You're not going to be victorious in your Christian life if you've not developed this characteristic of endurance. And we began to see that Paul presents endurance from three angles as he seeks to continue developing. Even at the end of Paul's life, as he writes this final letter before he dies, he's continuing to seek to develop. He's enduring in developing endurance in Timothy's life. And we've already seen how he presented endurance expected in these different areas. We won't go over them again. And then endurance exemplified as he gave five different illustrations, five different examples of things in everyday life where we need to endure. And he took them and he related them spiritually in our spiritual lives. And the third area of the three that we're going to see tonight is endurance energized. Endurance energized. And we find that it's expected of us as believers. We're expected to endure, to continue. We see examples in everyday life of what it means to endure. But you know, the Lord is so gracious to say, hey, let me tell you how you can find the energy to endure, to keep going. Now, the young people know about this thing. I hope not too many of them know about it from experience. I don't know. I don't know too much about it. I haven't researched the 5-hour energy drink. I want to ask you to raise your hand if you've used any of it or not. I think it's mainly caffeine or something. But the idea is to give you that energy, to energize you, to keep going when otherwise you would maybe stop. Talking to a young brother just the other day, and he was telling me about an extended period of time where he didn't get any sleep and he had responsibilities, and he just happened to mention that he had drunk one of these 5-hour energy drinks, and it kept him going. He was doing great. This was later in the evening when I saw him, and I was amazed. I'm not going to attribute it all to the 5-hour energy drink, but you get the idea. What we want to do tonight is not find something in a bottle, but find something in the book that will give us energy, that will energize us to keep going when we feel like stopping. Now, I know some of you are older and you're saying, I've never heard of 5-hour energy. But you've heard of this, right? You've heard of the Energizer Bunny. Now you can relate, right? You might not be able to relate to the energy drink, but you can relate to the bunny. He just keeps going and going and going and going. Man, I'm looking at a bunch of potentially spiritual energizer bunnies out there. But we got to be energized. You know, he needs the batteries, right? Or he's going to stop if he doesn't have those special alkaline batteries, Energizer brand. He needs those to keep going. We need something to energize us. And, of course, God is the one who provides that for us. And tells specifically here a couple of different things about himself that enable us to continue going forward spiritually. And sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get despondent. Sometimes we just get weary. Sometimes we're worn out. We want to continue reading our Bibles. We want to continue being a witness. We want to continue loving our spouses. We want to continue being wise in the way that we relate to our employer or employees, the way that we relate to our neighbors and our children, our grandchildren. We want to keep going using our spiritual gift. We want to be faithful in the meetings of the assembly and going out of the assembly and faithfully taking God's Word with us everywhere we go. We want to do that, but in all honesty, sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we don't want to endure. We want to give up. We want to sit down. We want to stop. But we look back to 2 Timothy 3:14 and we hear those words that Paul wrote to Timothy in the first century, and they ring back to us. But you must continue. Lord, I want to continue. How do I do that? Well, the Lord says, I will energize you. I will enable you to have the strength to continue on to be faithful to me. I will not ask you to do something, but I won't give you the ability, that I won't give you the energy to do. So let's look at those two. Here's the first one. We can have our endurance energized by the promise of God to repay. The promise of God to repay. And there's two aspects to this. Now this, he's speaking here of future compensation. Okay? He's going to repay. Future compensation. You do something now and you'll get the pay later, is the idea. And you might have all of us that work in any kind of job, most jobs, you don't get paid before you do the work. Now, sometimes you might get a draw. You might get a little bit of that money to buy materials. But usually you're not going to get paid until the work's completed. That's a future thing. And that's what the Lord is saying here. I am promising that I will repay. And there's two aspects of this. The first we find in verse 8. And it's the promise of God to repay those who love His appearing. Notice verse 8 in chapter 4. Finally, that's a good word when you're talking about endurance, isn't it? Finally, there's coming an end to this enduring. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love His appearing. His appearing. Look back at verse 1. It's been a while since we looked at verse 1. So look back there again at verse 1 of chapter 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. He speaks of the appearing of the Lord Jesus here. We also find it in Titus 2:13, where we are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we find that this time of His appearing is going to be a time of evaluation and reward. Verse 1 says He's going to be judging the living and the dead during this period of His appearing. We know there's going to be a time of judging of the believers, of the saints, of those who were soldiers in the army of God, those who are running the race for Jesus Christ, who are fighting the good fight of faith. There's going to be a time of judgment for us, not judgment of our sins, but rather at the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, that time of evaluation. What did you do with the fact that you lived in the 21st century? And you lived in a land of freedom. You lived in a time period in history where we have rights And though some of them are being taken away, yet we have more rights than many people in the world today have or ever have had. What are we doing with all of the resources that God has given us? How many Bibles do each of us own? How many websites are there on the internet where we can go and find information about Scripture and living for the Lord? How many meetings do we have here? How many opportunities? Wow. We're going to be held accountable. God's going to ask us to give an answer for how we took those things and how we handled our stewardship. There's coming a time of evaluation. We know that the Lord Jesus is also coming after that rapture, after He catches us up to be with Himself. He's coming back approximately 7 years later, and He's coming in judgment upon this world. And there'll be evaluation there as well. And He speaks here particularly of those who love His appearing. He said, you know, there's going to be a repayment. There's going to be a repayment with a crown, He says there in verse 8. And Paul himself is saying, finally, you know, I'm enduring, I'm continuing, and finally, you know what? I know that at the end of it all, at the end of the race, at the end of the fight, I know that there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. You know, the New Testament speaks of several crowns for different aspects of faithfulness and service to Him, the crown of life and the crown of glory. He says here there's going to be a crown of righteousness. He's going to repay the endurance now with a crown later. It's a reward. You know, if you are up to it and you want to run in the New York City Marathon, you want to travel up there and pay the price. You know, every finisher, no matter how long it takes you to run that 26.1 mile race, no matter how long it takes you to run it, at the end, every finisher gets a medal. And they know that it's there. And when they're hitting about mile 22 and they're thinking, man, I am hurting, I want to stop, continue on, because at the end, you're going to get this medal if you finish. You know, there are some who question and say, God doesn't want us serving Him for reward. He wants us to serve Him because we love Him. But I think they're both true. Interestingly, here we have love and reward tied very closely together, don't we? Those who love His appearing are going to be rewarded. God says, I want you to be motivated. I want to give you this crown. I think it's very important that we see here in verse 8 that the one who's going to give the crown is the Lord, the righteous judge. There's going to be a righteous evaluation, an evaluation in grace and truth. And while everyone who knows the Lord Jesus will be before Him and will receive a reward, He will find something in every believer. Every believer will have his or her reward from God. But not every believer is going to receive the crown of righteousness. You see, it's only for those who love His appearing. Who love to say, you know what, if we're not living for Him, we're not going to love His appearing. I don't think I'm going to want to stand before the righteous judge and be evaluated for my life if I know that my life is not being poured out for Him. If I'm living for myself, I don't want to stand before Him and hear His evaluation of my selfishness or of my laziness or of my materialism. No, I'm not going to love His appearing. But as I look to the future and recognize that day is coming, no matter what the television ads tell me, no matter what the billboards say, it's not all about living here. There's a day coming I'm going to be with Him. And He wants me to look forward to that day. And He wants me to love His appearing, because I am seeking in His strength, by His grace, for His glory, to live my life here, that I might one day receive that crown of righteousness because I loved His appearing. And I looked forward to seeing Him. Oh, that I could receive that crown of righteousness, that I could return it to Him and say, Lord, thank You for Your grace that You enabled me to know You and to be a part of Your family and to be gifted spiritually as every believer is, and oh, to have the opportunities. Lord, thank You for giving me something to give back to You. I want to do that. We want to look forward to that day. Paul was looking forward to that day. Even as he endured up until that day, he wasn't going to stop. We sing, sometimes it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Another songwriter says, I can only imagine what it's going to be like to see Him face to face with Christ, my Savior. I had to stop and think this week as I studied this, am I more energized by temporal rewards than I am by eternal rewards? And I'll turn that to you. What do you think? Does your life evidence that you are being more motivated by eternal rewards and seeing the righteous judge and receiving from Him the reward He will give? Or are you more motivated by the temporal rewards that this life offers? Love not this world, we read in 1 John. Rather, we're to love His appearing. That knowledge of the reward by our Lord at the judgment seat of Christ should energize me to keep going. He's made a promise. He's promised that to me if I love His appearing. And the one who made the promise is Christ, whose name is faithful and true. And those who love His appearing are going to be properly compensated, righteously compensated. And that should energize me. But there's another promise of God to repay that energized Paul, that kept him going, even when there was great opposition. And that was the promise of God to repay those who oppose His workers. Look down at verse 14. We'll come back and catch the verses in between. But notice verses 14 and 15. Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Again, we see Paul speaking of future compensation. That there's going to be a repayment in the future with justice. Paul says, I am confident, as we should be, that God is watching everything. The Lord, the righteous judge, He sees it all. And as Hebrews 6 verse 10 tells us, He is not unjust to forget our work and labor of love, which we have shown toward His name, and that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. He's just. He's righteous. He's not going to forget it. He's not going to overlook it. And the psalmist said, Psalm 56:8, speaking to the Lord, You number my wanderings. Put my tears into Your bottle. Are they not in Your book? You see, the Lord is keeping a record of all of your hurt and your suffering at the hand of those who oppose you, because you are standing for the cause of the Lord Jesus. The Lord told Isaiah to go to Hezekiah and say to him, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. And as we go through the sufferings of this life, and particularly here, he speaks of those sufferings at the hand of those who oppose us because of Christ. The Lord hears our prayers and He sees our tears. And Paul had a nemesis. His name was Alexander the coppersmith. They didn't have last names in that day. But if they did, he would be Alexander Smith. He might be kin to my wife. I don't know. She was a Smith before we got married. She might have had some people like that in her background. I don't know. Most of them were pretty nice guys. But this guy, he opposed the work of God and the worker of God. He opposed Paul. He did Paul much harm. He hurt Paul. He hindered the work, or he tried to hinder the work that Paul was doing. And we see there in verse 15 that he greatly resisted or opposed Paul's words. As Paul tried to teach the truth and share the good news and teach a biblical doctrine from God, this guy was opposing that and resisting that. But we, like Paul, have the assurance that God, the judge of all the earth, will do what is right and just. And that should motivate us to endure injustice now. Because he's going to ultimately right all the wrongs. But in his time, not in my time. He will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He'll deal with that. Are you facing opposition that is discouraging? As you're trying to live for the Lord, are you facing opposition that is getting in the way and hindering what you really want to do for God? Well, if you are, can I encourage you on the basis of God's Word to keep going? The Lord will repay the oppressors. You can count on it. Pray for them. Bless those who curse you. Pray for your enemies. But if they will not turn to the Lord, ultimately they will be held accountable for every injustice. It's really not you they're speaking against. As great servants of the Lord of the Old Testament learned, it wasn't them. It's not you, Moses. It's not you, Samuel, that they're really against. No, it's me, says God. They're opposing me. Just like Saul was opposing him. As he persecuted the believers, he was persecuting Christ. So we find here our endurance should be energized by the promise of God to repay. Secondly, our endurance should be energized by the presence of God to reinforce. You see, the promise of God to repay is a future thing. That's something that God says, look, you continue now, and I can promise you that it's going to work out in the end. The payment's going to come. You believe me, that's faith. It's going to happen. But he said, I got something for you right now, too. I'm going to reinforce your energy by my very presence. And first of all, he's going to do that through his people. Go back to verse 9. We skipped that, but we're going to read 9 through 13 and then go down to the end of the chapter. And notice all you're going to see about Paul and his interaction with the people of God. Verse 9, he says to Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. You can just hear his heart breaking. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. It seems that they had gone off in other areas of ministry, probably with Paul's blessing, but he still missed them. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Go down to verse 19. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Paul was finding the presence of God through God's people. You know, the Spirit of God lives in every believer. Our bodies are His temple, His dwelling place. And that means that through us, God can manifest, in a sense, to a degree, His presence. And Paul, in essence, is showing here that the presence of a fellow believer is a great source of encouragement and comfort and support. And it comes from the Lord working through the lives of His people, and it encourages us to continue, even in times of difficulty. Paul was in prison. But he said, continue. I'm going to go to the end. I'm going to run the race all the way to the end. I'm going to fight the fight all the way to the end. I'm going to keep the faith all the way to the end. You know, I enjoy going out to run. I don't always enjoy it, but I do it. I enjoy having run. And when I run, I take my dog. I should have brought a picture of my dog, Rocky. He runs with me. But you know, he's getting a little older, and he had some health issues a couple of years ago. And now, as we get into the run, he starts out, and man, he's like, I'm saying, all right, hold back, buddy, hold back. I can't go that fast. But then after we go a while, he's beside me, and then he's behind me. And finally, I'm like, come on, Rocky, come on, I'm dragging him. But you know, I found something very interesting. Here he is, I'm dragging him along, and come on, man, I'm trying to reach my goal time, come on. And all of a sudden, up ahead, a dog comes out in the yard, and Rocky, who I'm dragging, is now dragging me. It was the presence of that other dog that somehow, man, he got the adrenaline. I'm thinking, you could have done this while ago, and I was dragging you. But you know what? This the presence of that other dog encouraged him to keep going, in fact, to even go a little harder. One time, Anna went with me. She was riding a bike, and as long as she was in front of me, he was pulling. And we went a long way. And he pulled the whole time. I thought, man, if I could get somebody to ride the bike ahead of me every day, I'd never have to drag him. He was going. It was somebody else was there, and he was encouraged to continue. And you know, when we go through difficulties and struggles in the Christian life, sometimes we desire skin. We want another person. We want somebody else to be there. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Castaway. Tom Hanks was the star of that movie, and in the movie he is in a FedEx plane. He's traveling along, going somewhere. I think he works for FedEx, and he was just hopping a ride here to go somewhere, but the plane went down in the ocean. And he was the only survivor. He washed up on an island. He was a castaway all by himself. And it was interesting. If you saw the movie, you know what happened. And I'm going to show you a little something here if it'll come up for me. All right, you know what that is. A volleyball, right? If you saw the movie, you know what's going to happen. This is a Wilson volleyball. And FedEx plane was carrying a number of different items. Some of them washed up on the shore. Some became very useful to him. One of them was a volleyball. That's not real useful if you're by yourself on an island. You know, you don't have a net. You don't have anybody to play with. But Tom Hanks cut his hand, and he grabbed hold of that ball, and something very interesting happened. It made a face print. And he ended up taking some weeds, some grass, brush, and making hair. And this became Wilson, his friend. And he talked to Wilson. Wilson stayed there in his little hut, and he would talk to Wilson. And eventually, I'll give it away, a little spoiler, but when he finally builds a raft and sets out and he's laying there out in the ocean, Wilson falls off and drifts away, and that's the end of Wilson. And he cried. He cried because he lost a volleyball. No, he didn't cry because he lost a volleyball. He cried because he lost a friend. Now, we're human beings, and we're designed to have relationship. But beyond that, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we are designed to have relationship with other believers. Not only other believers, but in a special, close, united way, we have relationship. And we need each other. And God has designed us in that way. And if we end up a castaway on an island, He will be faithful and He will be all that we need. But in general, He uses other believers to help us. And Paul desired Timothy's presence. In fact, he wanted him to come before winter if he could. Maybe as soon as you can. He wanted some practical help. Timothy, bring the clothes and the books. That's a way you can minister to me. He missed the presence of Demas, who was a disappointment. He missed Crescens and Titus, who were serving elsewhere. He appreciated Luke's presence. He desired John Mark's presence. He had formally rejected him, but now he was profitable. He missed Tychicus, who was serving in Ephesus. He missed Prisca and Aquila and the family of Onesiphorus. So we could go on and mention all of those again. But the point is that God energizes us to endure by His presence to reinforce our endurance. And He oftentimes does that through His people. You know, fellow believers can cheer for us, and they can listen to us, and they can sympathize with us, and they can help us. And you know what? We need each other. And if you're going to endure, you need other believers. And they need you. Sometimes just to listen. Sometimes to sympathize. Sometimes to share a verse or a word of encouragement or maybe instruction. Sometimes to help us get our focus back on the Lord and His promises and His character. We need skin. We need to sit across from another person and see them or at least hear their voice or read their email or their text or their handwriting on a card, because God uses that to help us to keep going. And all what that meant to Paul in his darkest days was difficult. But you know what? This didn't just happen. Paul developed relationships through investing. Paul was consistent. Paul was loyal. Paul was real. Ralph Bridges' funeral was this past week, and there was a number of folks from the chapel there. And several people commented to me about Ralph, and he was a quiet brother. He never stood up here. But you know what? He was a quiet brother, but he was a real brother. He was a brother who developed relationships. He was a brother who cared. He was a brother who was humble. He was a brother who people appreciated and said, I want to go to his funeral. I want to pay my respects to that brother. Because he had been like this. He had been used by God to reinforce the truth that God is with us. And not only to be with us, Not only do we need other believers to be with us, but that sense of knowing they're praying for us. That means so much. That means so much to me. I know so many of you are praying for me when I'm studying or when I'm preparing for a funeral or whatever. I know you're praying for me. And sometimes you tell me and sometimes you don't, but I'm confident in it anyway. And I appreciate that. And I know you appreciate those who are praying for you. So I'll ask you, in what ways can you be used of God this week to reinforce His presence with a fellow believer who is in need or who is under attack? How can you? What can you do this week? What will you do this week in order for God to use you as skin in the life of someone else? The very presence of God. Our endurance can be energized when we're weary and tired and wanting to quit and give up and throw in the towel and just sit down in frustration. God will energize our endurance by His promise to repay and also by His presence to reinforce through His people and also through His person. Paul experienced that. Look at verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. We probably should have read verse 16, shouldn't we? At my first offense, no one stood with me, no skin, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord stood with Paul in that Roman courtroom. The Lord strengthened Paul to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles there, to the Roman guards, to the Roman court, to the Roman onlookers, to any Jews who had come maybe to be a part of accusing him. No skin to encourage him. No fellow believer there to say, hey man, I got your back, or to sit there with a smile. Nobody. But he said, the Lord stood with me. And the Lord strengthened me to proclaim the gospel. And the Lord delivered me from the lion's mouth. He said, the Lord intervened in my life. You've seen that in your life. You've seen the Lord intervene. The Lord intervened and said, I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. I was right there. He was ready to clamp down on me. Nero, the Roman emperor, was ready, man. He had the power, humanly speaking, to take Paul's life. But for that particular moment, he was spared. And the Lord snatched him out of not only out of Nero's jaws, but out of the jaws of Satan, who, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And he assured Paul that he will, there's his promise again, he will deliver him from every evil work. Did Paul think he would never die? No. Did Paul think he wouldn't suffer? No, he was suffering right then. But Paul knew that until God was ready for him to come home, Nero could huff and puff and blow a house down, but he wasn't going to take Paul's life until the Lord was ready. And Satan was not going to get him. He was going to be preserved for the heavenly kingdom of God. He reinforced his presence through his person. How did he stand with Paul? Well, with Paul, it seems like he was right there audibly. We read in Acts chapter 18 when Paul was facing opposition in Corinth, verses 9 and 10, we read that the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. In that situation, a vision from God came to Paul. He was facing opposition in Jerusalem in Acts 23, and that night, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Later in Acts 27, Paul's in a storm at sea on a ship being transported as a prisoner to Rome. And he came out and he told the folks, after several days and nights of not seeing the sun in an awful storm, he came and he said, there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. So he had a vision. He had the voice of God. He had an angel. I'm not going to tell you to look for those things, all right? I'm not going to tell you to look for a vision, nor the audible voice of God, nor am I going to tell you to look for an angelic visit. Because you have something that Paul didn't have. You got it right in your lap right now. You got the Bible. You got the completed Word of God. And God is going to speak to you. And God is speaking to you. The question is, are we hearing? Are we listening? God is speaking to us through His Word. The Spirit of God who lives within the believer is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do we trust our dad? Do we trust our Abba Father? The Spirit of God is there indwelling us. He is, according to John 14, 26, bringing to our remembrance everything that the Lord Jesus has said to us as we're in the Word of God. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be granted to be strengthened with might through God's Spirit in the inner man. The Spirit of God is there, strengthening us. We have that access, Ephesians 2:18, by one Spirit to the Father. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit to bring the Word of God to our minds and to apply it and to help us understand it and to think on the right verse at the right time if we have faith in what He says. We could spend time listening to the testimonies of martyrs down through the ages, including modern times, who had the Lord stand with them in their hour of martyrdom. And He was faithful, and He was there with them, and many of them were singing His praises when they died, many in horrendous ways. How did they do that? The Lord stood with them. But you know what? If I expect the Lord to be speaking to me, When I go through difficulty, I've got to be listening. I've got to be spending every day, I've got to be spending time in the Word with Him, in fellowshipping with Him, in praying to Him. I've got to trust Him that He is with me and He is for me. I've got to obey Him. As we heard Wednesday night, I've got to abide in Him, the true vine. If I want to hear Him, because He's speaking. He's speaking. Endurance energized by the promise of God to repay. He's going to repay us when we love His appearing, when we serve Him, when we're faithful to Him. He's going to repay those who are opposing us. And He's with us. He's reinforcing His presence through His people and through His person. Am I in His Word? Am I in His Word daily? Am I going to be an instrument to minister to others? Am I going to open myself up to others as they seek to minister to me? We can trust the Lord. I trust that you'll be energized. You don't need the 5-hour energy for this. No, you got the 24-hour energy by the Spirit of God, by the promise of God to repay and the presence of God to reinforce. May the Lord encourage you as you endure whatever God calls you to endure this week. Continue. You must continue. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your encouragement through Paul's pen as he wrote to Timothy and sought to continue to develop these various character qualities in his life. Father, thank You so much for this character quality of endurance. Father, how fitting it seems that You would put this at the end of the letter. Father, as we get weary and tired and frustrated and angry and discouraged and, Father, whatever else we get, Father, we pray that we would know that we must endure. We must endure by Your strength, by Your courage, that we might be discerning, that we might be vessels of honor. Lord, help us to endure for Your glory. Thank You for these believers here. Thank You for their desire to be skin to other believers. Father, help us to sense Your presence through one another and through Your Word by the Spirit. May we look to the future and Your faithfulness in repaying. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for all that You give us in the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the Lord encourage you as you endure.